Rockauto.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar, The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rap.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Bada boom! Realest guys in a room. How you know?
I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here is my hand, here is my spout. When I get all steamed up, hear me shout. Tip me all around, pour me out.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
My boobs are real.
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
Bad things happen to bad people, and good things happen to good people. Good people. Like me. All you have to do is believe!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. I am your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer slash handyman slash co-host, Sir Rockin.
I am here. We are live across the airwaves on Wild Talk Radio Network. You can interact with us live at Rack Radio Show on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, and we'll take your comments on the air or join us in our interactive chat room at Wild Talk Radio and RackRadioShow.com.
And we have a full night because I go away for 4 days and everything happens. NXT Divas debut
in Atlanta.
In Atlanta when I'm in Omaha. And I cried.
And where are you now?
I'm back in Atlanta.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, plan this trip out. Raw decides to come to Atlanta while I'm out of town, and Bray Wyatt wears the damn apron, and Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, and Charlotte make their main roster debut. I had to go cry. It was rather heartbreaking, but that's okay, because they'll be back in November for Survivor Series, and we're going to kind of do the news. Before we do the news, the pre-sale code for that is Atlanta, in case anybody would like to attend on November 22nd. I'm going, so...
By the way, WWE's in Nebraska next Tuesday.
Yeah, I know they are. The irony of that was not lost on me at all.
They're running from her.
They are trying. They knew I was going out of town. They're like, let's go to Atlanta while she's not there. Let's bring Bray Wyatt with us, because you would have had to have gotten the bail money. Anyway, like I said, we have a lot to get into. We have major news about GFW, about Kurt Angle, about WWE that we're going to get into here in a second. We have NXT, we have Battleground, and of course, we have Sanjay Dutt.
We do have the one and only, the original player from the Himalayas, Sanjay Dutt, too. He's going to talk all things GFW.
And a little TNA, because, you know, you got to ask him about TNA. And he will be with us later in the show, so you want to stay tuned for that. Now we're going to jump right into our news, brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com and TNAsylum.com. The Haven. Or it's TNAsylum.net. I'm used to saying .com. I'm so sorry, guys. The Haven for TNA fans. And, well, depending on the rumors that you hear, they may become more of a haven here in the coming months.
Wait, Edge is taking over their Wrong haven.
Completely wrong haven. But we're going to talk about Edge. We have to talk about the biggest story of the week that is non-rumor, because we'll get to the rumor big story here in a few. But the biggest story is that Kurt Angle unfortunately had to go back into surgery yesterday for complications due to the tumor surgery that he had last week, which is very unfortunate. He was rushed to the hospital by his wife after, he began having trouble breathing and he was losing feelings in his arms and his legs. Doctors, very quickly diagnosed that he had fluid building up on his spinal cord. It was very life-threatening. It was a complication due to the tumor surgery, and they took him back under immediately to relieve the pressure on his spine. So he is better. He's okay. He will recover. So everybody take a deep breath, sigh of relief. Kurt Angle's going to be fine. But unfortunately, he will be missing a signing in the UK due to the surgery.
Yeah, he was supposed to appear at the London Comic Con, and well, because of this, he will not be appearing. He's been very active on the Twitter, @RealKurtAngle, interacting with fans and whatnot. But yeah, he's missing signing because of this. And this was emergency surgery, so it's like, you just wonder. Part of me goes, hey, Kurt, don't get back in the ring.
Yeah, I think that was kind of a sign, because he had neck surgery, he came back, then he got the tumor in his neck, had that removed, and now he's had to have neck surgery again to drain the fluid off his spinal cord. He has a history of neck problems. It's kind of one of those things where it's like, maybe you're pushing your luck just a little bit with that.
Possibly.
So, but anyway, best wishes to Kurt Angle as he recovers. I hope he feels better soon and he's up and moving around soon.
Same here.
Because that's never fun.
Never, never fun thing.
But speaking of not fun, you know what else isn't fun?
What's that?
A staph infection.
No, it's not.
WWE announced that Ryback is officially off the Battleground pay-per-view this Sunday. He will not be defending the IC title against Big Show and Miz, as he has come down with a staph infection.
But I was so looking forward to that match.
Yeah, not really, but
it was going to be match of the night that everyone didn't pay attention to.
Unless there's a gong.
There will not be a gong in that match.
But there may be a gong at that pay-per-view.
We'll get there. We're getting there. We'll get there.
We're going to get there, yeah. But I don't think anybody... Well, I should say anybody, because I'm sure some people were looking forward to that match. I personally was not looking forward to that match. But it's not a happy thing when somebody comes down with a staph infection, because they're really painful. They're really, really difficult to deal with. And so I'm sorry to hear that Ryback has come down with one. And that's going to cost him money because he's not going on the show, which must suck because that's going to hurt his push.
Yeah, and he's the champion man. That belt. Ooh.
Yeah, everybody's kind of starting to call that belt cursed, because it seems like whoever gets it gets hurt.
Barrett got hurt. Daniel Bryan got hurt.
Ryback's got a staph infection. There's a jinx on the belt. Just pointing that out.
Yeah,
so, but best of luck to Ryback as he recovers and he gets better. Hopefully he will be back on TV soon.
Right, yeah, hopefully he's back on TV soon.
Yeah, I won't be happy about it, because I'm not a particularly big fan of his, but as one person to another, I wish him all the best as he recovers.
Yes.
Because, that's important.
Yes.
That he recovers.
Yes.
And speaking of recovering, well, Dolph Ziggler is recovering, in quotations, that's the only way I can do quotations on air, from his on-TV interview, or I should say on-TV injury at the hands of Rusev, by filming a movie.
Yeah, he's re-signed with the company, and two, he's off to do a movie called 642. The movie is a thriller, and Ziggler will play a cop. Man, a WWE film that someone's playing a cop named Ray Fitzpatrick, who has to overcome his past while dealing with a plot to blow up a child with a bomb strapped to their chest.
Can we have one movie where somebody's not a cop or a paramedic or a military individual? I want a rom-com, damn it. I want somebody to do a rom-com, and honestly, Ziggler would be perfect for it.
Yeah, he's a comedian. Why is he doing a action thriller?
Like, where are the romantic comedies? Where are the just straight-out comedies? Like, they did one, and they never did it again.
Who doesn't want to see Bo Dallas in a romantic, cheesy comedy film?
oh my god, Bo Dallas would actually be perfect in a cheesy romantic comedy film.
Wouldn't he?
He really kind of would.
Right.
He's just this precious little cinnamon roll.
He's not the featured guy, but he's like, you know, the douchebag guy trying to hit on the girl.
I can picture him being the best friend. The really awkward best friend.
That too.
But yeah, no, I want... It's like, first of all, yay that Ziegler's getting a movie, because that's a big step for him. But, you know, in terms of he's playing a cop who has to overcome his past. Gee, where have we heard this before? You know, and he has to deal with some traumatic thing, like a child having a bomb strapped to their chest. Holy crap. Like, you know, it's just, it seems like that's the basic plot of, like, every WWE Studios film.
Yeah.
That is not See No Evil.
Yeah.
It's like it's the whole basis for 12 Rounds and for the Marine and for everything else, and which is fine. You know, it's like you have a basic formula and that's what they're sticking to, but I would love as just a fan to see like a really bad romantic comedy, because it's a WWE film. We all know it's going to kind of be crap, but it's like it can be crap in a good way or it can be crap in a bad way.
Can we get some cheesiness?
Can we get some cheesiness? Can we get some, like, some romantic comedies, some comedies, some lighthearted stuff?
Miz was in the Hallmark rom-com. It was awful. Well, you know.
It's Hallmark?
It's Hallmark.
The thing is it's like you're not necessarily watching it because you know that it was good, that it's gonna be good.
Right.
Like, very few of those made for TV movies are good. They're usually cheesy as all get out. But that's what makes it somewhat entertaining, is you should watch it that it's so bad, it's entertaining.
Yeah, you can't turn away.
You can't, it's like a car accident. You just can't look away. And you just sit there and you make fun of it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the level I'm kind of looking for, where it's like, it's just so bad, you sit there and you make fun of it, because honestly, I've done that for some of the thriller movies, because I'll sit there and I'm like, really? Really? Is that even physically possible?
Right.
So, you know, that's just my thing. Like, it's cool that he's getting a movie. I'm very happy that he's getting a movie. I'm actually kind of excited for Dean Ambrose's movie, because I actually think Dean Ambrose's movie might be decent, just because it has Dean Ambrose in it.
Right.
And he's the only one that I've seen so far that can pull off being a cop.
We hope. Best question. Best thing is we hope.
Well, he looks like one.
He looks the part.
Now, the question is, can he act the part? Because he admitted that he had no idea what he was doing. Which may be good, may be bad.
Oh, yeah, Christmas Bounty. We talked to Miz about the movie.
Yeah, we talked to Miz about Christmas Bounty.
We did. And we also talked to Cam about See No Evil 2. See No Evil 2.
We've talked to Miz about a variety of his movies.
Yeah, we did. We have. And you can find them all at rackradioshow.com.
Ding! But, yeah. So, congratulations to Ziegler. I hope the filming goes well. He should be back in, like, what, a month to 6 weeks?
Yeah, he should be back in time for SummerSlam.
My only complaint for this is that they pulled him in a really awkward spot, because he's kind of in a feud with Rusev right now.
They seem to do that with everybody, don't they?
Yeah, it's like he's in the middle of the feud. It's heating up. Lana and Summer are heating up. Like, everybody wants to see those two fight. And then Ziggler gets hurt, and Lana and Summer are just... Which sucks.
Yeah, it does.
So I guess they're going to heat that back up coming for SummerSlam. I don't know.
He should be back in like 4 weeks.
I hope so. So before we jump to GFW, because we do have news for GFW.
We do.
We have to talk about the rumors that have been coming out over the last couple days pertaining to Battleground and SummerSlam. And it all started with Reddit. Blame Reddit for everything.
Go ahead.
Then it has been fueled by a picture on Instagram of The Undertaker training. And, yes, there's the gong. And if this comes true, everybody within the sound of my voice will hear me scream on the Raw post show. And Rock will be deaf.
I will hear it before the post show.
He'll hear the actual scream.
Yeah. Then I won't be able to hear on the post show.
No, totally won't. But basically, the picture consisted of The Undertaker training to segue back in, and the rumor is now circulating that The Undertaker will be showing up either Sunday or Monday, and he will be wrestling at SummerSlam.
Which leads to the question of who will be facing at SummerSlam.
And Rock and I were sitting here before the show. We were trying to figure it out, and we really couldn't figure it out. I mean, the door is kind of wide open for really anybody to face Taker. I know who I would like Taker to face, just because it's an easy go back to for him, and that's Taker Bray 2, but Bray would have to go over. Which they may do if he's just coming back for a one-off at SummerSlam. But it's kind of interesting that he's coming back at all.
It is very interesting. And we have the first Sting comment. Sting! Everyone wants Sting. Okay, we've said this before, and for new listeners of this program, I'm going to explain the Sting factor. The moment Undertaker vs. Sting face-off, going to be epic.
Oh, yeah.
Then they're going to have to wrestle. That won't be as good as people think, just saying. But, now, to throw it all around, 4 weeks is not enough time to build Sting and Undertaker.
No, and they could be setting up WrestleMania as well, just because Taker comes in, they set up the WrestleMania match, and they do a very slow build for Taker's Mania. But the thing is, for me, I honestly don't want to see Taker Sting. It doesn't do anything for me, and that makes me a very bad fangirl, simply because I've seen Sting wrestle, and I've seen Taker wrestle recently, and neither one of them need to be in the ring together. Honestly, they both need someone in the ring with them that can carry the match for them. And that's not an insult to them, it's just their bodies are at the point where they can't do what they used to be able to do. It's still them, they're still out there wrestling, they're still out there giving it their all, but they need somebody out there to help them at this stage, and to put them both in the ring together. Yeah, it'll be a really epic showdown, it will be a historic moment, because it's two icons, one from WWE and one from WCW, who have never met, never faced, looking each other in the eye. It will be a huge moment, and it will be cool. But like Rock said, then they gotta wrestle. And the match is just not gonna be what it needs to be, or what it should be. This was 5 to 7 years ago that we're talking, when Taker and Sting would face each other. I would be completely on board, because they could throw something together that would be really amazing. But at this point in their careers, it's not gonna be as good as people think it's gonna be.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Taker, we've seen a very steady decline with him over the last few years. Same thing goes for Sting. And again, this is not to insult them, because I have a great respect for both of them, but it's like you see it in their physical capabilities. Sting barely took any bumps at Mania. Same goes for Taker. He took a few big ones.
Yeah, he did.
But neither one of them really took any, or took a huge succession of them. In fact, I think Taker took more than Sting.
Thinking.
I'd have to go back and rewatch the matches, because I haven't.
I think it's very even.
I think it's kind of even, but I think Taker may have taken a few more. But it's just, yeah, so you have two guys that really can't bump trying to face each other, and short of just slapping each other around, I just don't think it's going to be what people want it to be.
The magic, the atmosphere will be there. If you realistically think of the quality of the match, I don't think the quality would hold up. Lesnar Taker 2. I can see them doing that.
Oh god, Taker would die.
But Brock is babyface, Taker's babyface. I don't see how you get there unless he's looking for revenge for what Kane did on Monday night. Or Brock did on Monday night to Kane.
I can see that. I really can, just because Brock put Kane out, he broke Taker's brother's ankle. Taker's coming for revenge for his brother, but at the same time, I'm trying to think, when was the last time those two saw each other, and were they on good terms when they did? Because it's so hard to keep track of that kind of stuff.
The last time I remember, wasn't it with Paul Bearer?
Yeah, I think it was Paul Bearer, and I think they were on good terms, and Kane was upset about the streak, so I think Taker and Kane, storyline-wise, they're on good terms.
Wait, it was after that. It was Team Hell No.
Oh, that's right, it was Team Hell No, so yeah, they were on good terms. So, realistically, Taker could come and avenge his brother. I don't know if he would. They have been name-dropping Taker a lot lately in reference to Kane, either with Dean Ambrose or with Paul Heyman.
Yeah. Mostly Paul Heyman.
So, it could be they're going to do Taker Brock 2, but I don't know if I want to see that, just because I really can't stand to watch Taker die again, and he doesn't have enough time to get better for Mania.
Yeah, and Taker vs. Rock, great matchup. Too short of a build.
Yeah, too short of a build. I can see that they would go for Taker Bray.
Taker Bray, Taker Rollins. It all depends on what they do at Battleground. But I could see Taker Rollins.
I can see Taker Rollins, but I would need a really solid build-up for it. Simply unless Taker blames Rollins for everything that happened with the Shield, and that's what they use for the build-up. But honestly, it's like if you were going to do Taker and Rollins, you really should have done that this year.
Oh, I know. Hey. I'm going to throw it out there, because I like to start stirring up stuff.
I know you like stirring up stuff. But, I mean, as you can tell, it's wide open for Taker in terms of who he could face, because he may face somebody that we're not even thinking about. You know, us joking with Rock, he could come out and kick Bo Dallas in the face.
He could. Or it could be the Shield versus the Brothers of Destruction.
Again, they're not going to reunite the Shield.
If they do, then, you know, I was right.
If they reunite the Shield, I need a damn good explanation for that beyond Seth Rollins bribed Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns.
He got the beer.
Again, beyond Seth Rollins bribed Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns. Because if I get a Shield reunion, I want my Wyatt family reunion, damn it.
Well, Eric has to heal up before you get the Wyatt family reunion.
Eric can walk out there in a sling.
We'll see another guy in a sling later in the show.
If Sami Zayn can do it, so can Eric Rowan. But yeah, very, very interesting rumor. Should be noted that Taker is pretty much confirmed at this point. He is flying into St. Louis. Whether he will be on the pay-per-view or not, that is not confirmed. Supposedly, he's only there to talk about Monday night, but it seems a little iffy that he's just flying in to talk. But again, that's happened before. I.e. Nashville.
But he is scheduled for Raw, supposedly, so there is that. And Sting is still going to be a part of SummerSlam, right?
Yes, he's not wrestling.
We don't know. He could be wrestling. He could be wrestling Bray Wyatt at SummerSlam. You never know.
If they do Sting and Bray, that's Mania.
Yeah.
Now you can set Sting and Bray up for Mania, and you can do, again, a slow burn on that.
Hey, do Sting and The Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt and someone else.
No! God, stop!
What? Stop throwing things out you don't want to say?
Yes! Make me throw things at you. Good lord.
It's been a few days. You wanted to throw things at me for a while.
3 years. And counting.
And counting.
Counting. Yes. So... that wraps up the WWE portion of the news.
No, we have one other piece of WWE news.
Oh, that's right. How can I forget this? Proceed.
It was breaking at the NXT tapings and announced at WWE.com. Jushin Thunder Liger will be appearing at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. Very interesting. He wrestled for Ring of Honor recently, and now he's coming to WWE's NXT program for TakeOver. He is going to face, spoiler alert, Tyler Breeze.
Yay.
Should be interesting.
Can't wait for the promo.
That should be good. So
should
yeah.
be very funny.
Should be a good match. So there you go. There's the breaking news as we came on air.
Yes. Also, quick breaking news. It's been announced that Edge will be a part of the upcoming season of The Flash on CW.
Yes, he will be playing Adam Smasher.
So super exciting. Can't wait to see that.
Should be interesting.
And now we can do GFW.
Yeah, now we can do GFW.
Alright, we're switching over to GFW. It was announced that basically GFW is announcing their divisions.
Yeah, they have 4 divisions. We have the Global Championship division. We have the Tag Team titles. We have the Women's Championship. And we have the Next Gen division. It's about up-and-comers, the fearless new faces in the industry from around the globe. You'll be talking about these guys for years to come, says Jeff Jarrett. Huh, interesting. We'll talk more about it with Sanjay Dutt here later in the show. He talks to us about what the division actually is. So we're going to get into that with him. 4 championships for an up-and-coming promotion. That's interesting.
Yes, and at least 2 of them will be on the line, if I could talk, on the announced TV tapings for July 24th, where it's the Next Gen Tournament and also the Global Championship, which is the old TNA. Title.
Yeah. No. Global title.
No.
Global is his own title. The King of the Mountain.
Okay.
Something else.
King of the Mountain. Gotcha.
Yeah. No, they're all four titles will be on the line on tapings, apparently. Here's the card. Brian Myers, formerly Curt Hawkins, takes on Christopher Wodeski, formerly Chris Masters. Global Championship Tournament match. Bobby Roode versus the almighty TBA. We don't know.
Vacant!
Global Championship Tournament match. Kongo Kong takes on Nick Aldis, formerly known as Magnus. In the Tag Team Championship Tournament, Chris Sabin and Kushida, I totally butchered that probably, taking on Reno Scum, Tag Team titles, the Hollywood Boys taking on the Akbars. The Next Gen Championship Tournament features PJ Black, formerly known as Justin Gabriel, taking on Sonata from TNA fame. At Next Gen Championship Tournament, Jigsaw takes on Sanjay Dutt, who you'll hear from here in a little bit. At Women's Championship Tournament, Christina Von Erie, Mickey James, and Lady Tapa in a triple threat match.
Sounds like a good show.
Yeah, we'll also see Phoenix Star and a bunch of others in a six-man tag. I'm not going to try to read some of these names.
Yeah.
Because I would butcher them. So go to globalforcewrestling.com for more information on both of these things. Tickets are available for the TV tapings. Go to globalforcewrestling.com for more.
Yes. And now we're going to do our two reaction pieces because I was not here to react to one of them. Although you kind of already heard it. So what do you want to do? Do you want to do Raw or do you want to do Tough Enough?
Let's do Raw first.
Holy crap, stick on a cracker.
Yeah, so the holy crap...
That's the general reaction.
And we're done. No. We sat here freaking out on Monday night when the trio of Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, and Charlotte made their debut on Monday Night Raw as a part of the Big Divas angle. One, it was an amazing angle. Amazing. And two, oh my God, things have changed. The best moment of this whole thing. And we'll get to this. Stephanie played a role, but that's fine. Best part about it, during the brawl they had, when all three NXT girls had their submissions locked in.
Oh my Jesus.
Bank statement, the figure four, the armbar. That was the best spot. Now, some people will say, why was that the best spot? Because that was the change.
Yeah. All three girls, their finishers are submissions. And it's different submissions for each girl, and it was absolutely spectacular to see.
Three women, three unique women, three different women with completely different styles coming out there, performing submission moves on the current regime. That was the changing moment for me.
Yeah, that's the start of the revolution and it kind of started with Paige, where they gave Paige her finisher and let her do it. Natty has hers, but they really don't let her go for the sharpshooter a lot. I'm hoping that's now going to change. But now with the up-and-coming generation, you see them having submission holds, having recognizable finishers. That's now all going to become standard for the Divas division, and that's a very, very, very exciting thing to see, because now the girls are being brought online with the guys in terms of having signature moves, signature holds, submission holds, finishers. And the girls did have finishers before, but they weren't necessarily as I guess epic is the word I'm looking for, though it's not really the right word, where the girls were thought lesser than the guys, and now they're being brought on equal to the men.
Yeah. And now we have the changeover, and we have a three women alliances.
My only critique for this is I wish they had waited for Survivor Series.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it may get to the point where they do build to Survivor Series, and they do two female teams. And they do it seriously, because I have to say that one of the things that made me so happy besides the debuts was when the brawl broke out. It was a serious brawl. They were in there going for blood, which was fantastic. It wasn't the silly, stupid thing. It was that everybody was in there to prove themselves.
Right. The three trios are the Team Bella, which is Alicia and the Bella twins. You have Team Bad, which is Naomi, Tamina, and Sasha Banks. I like the name Team Bad.
Mm-hmm.
Plays off the BFFs back then. And you have, I don't know what they call themselves, but you have Paige, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte.
Team Paige.
Three trios, three different alliances. It's going to provide some interesting scenarios. What they need to do is let the girls go. Let them wrestle. Don't cut them. Don't cut their time. Tell them their time. Let them work it out. Let them know what they're doing. And let them go out there and perform.
And I think that's going to start happening because Hunter and Stephanie are behind this movement. They want to see the change in the women's division. They know what they have done in NXT. And they know that it is not equal to what's on the main roster. And they want to change that, and they want to give the women more time, and they want the women to shine, and they know that the women are just as good as the guys, and there could be a future star for the women where you could have a female face of the company. And that's an extremely exciting thing, at least for me, because it's like, I look at the NXT divas and I can relate to Becky Lynch. I love Becky Lynch. I think she's amazing. I can relate to Sasha Banks. I can relate to Charlotte. It's like you see them, and after having years and years and years of just bland women who never get to stand out, all they go out there and do is shake their tits, shake their ass, do bikini contests and dildo on a pole matches and everything else. To have them go out there on Monday Night Raw and throw the Bella Twins and Alicia Fox into submission holds and shine like they have down in NXT and Monday Night was really a cool thing to see, because it brought me back to when I first started watching with the golden era of women's wrestling in WWE, which was when Trish was there and Lita was there and Mickie James and Jacqueline and all those girls who really fought to make the women's division something in WWE, and then you just had to watch it kind of slide away.
Yeah.
Because they didn't care, and they didn't care for a long time. And now they care again, and they're fighting to make the women's division relevant. They're fighting to give little girls role models to look up to, and little boys. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something of, they want to have those female role models in counter to the male ones.
Yep.
And that's really, really cool to see.
Very cool. Very cool.
But as far as the moment on Monday Night Raw, oh.
Awesome.
Because I was sitting there and I was talking to Rock on Skype on my phone, and I was like, and he's like, I wonder if the rumors are true. I was like, what rumors? And he's like, just wait for it. And then she started, it's like she brought out Becky, and I was like,
yeah.
You know, are the other two coming? Are the other two? And then she brought out Charlotte, and then she brings out, and then Naomi and Tamina came out, and I'm like, Sasha.
And then, bam, there was Sasha.
There was Sasha, and Sasha walked out there, and man, she owned it. I was so excited. It was so cool.
It was great.
It's like, I'm done. Just done. Close the show with that. I'm done.
And for about 30 minutes, I was,
Yeah, it's like, what happened after that? I couldn't tell you. I don't know. I know Boo Boo showed up at some point.
He was before them.
I think they recapped what he did before them.
No, he came out first, because that was their segment, because the match was short. Then they brought the girls at the top of the hour, and after that, I forget.
Yeah, and I know they recapped what happened with Boo Boo after that.
Yeah, about 20 minutes later.
And then they broke Kane's ankle.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much Raw. That's what I remember.
Yeah.
And me trying to explain wrestling to my mom, who was watching it with me, which was awesome.
It was interesting. But yeah, so that was great. One other thing. Besides giving them time to wrestle, give them a backstage promo. Because the girls can talk.
Well, Sasha got one tonight on SmackDown.
But do it on Raw. Let her introduce herself on Raw. Get that audience to know that she is indeed the boss. Not just the boss of NXT, but the boss of WWE.
Yep. So, awesome segment. And, well, speaking of up-and-coming divas, we need to talk about Tough Enough.
Yeah, go into it. Let's talk about it.
Because this week was all about the girls.
Well, one girl.
One girl, and then the male divas. i.e. Patrick and everybody else.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Patrick first, because this is now the second week that there's been a fight that he's either been involved in or he's instigated. And I feel like that's going to get him.
What makes you think that?
Just because he's kind of a shit starter.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, you don't want that in your locker room. You don't want that person. You don't want an instigator. Like, that's fine for television, and maybe that's what they're only editing, is he's, you know, they're doing that for TV. But if that's the way he is in real life, it's like, you don't want that kind of person in your locker room, because it's like, you don't want him starting fights. You don't want the fact that he doesn't get along with anybody. You know, it's like, you're on the road with these people 250 to 300 days a year.
Right.
You gotta put up with that a lot.
Yeah,
and
you do.
It's going to get old really quick.
Yeah.
And so it's just seeing that, it's like, I'm waiting for the judges to kind of call him out on that. And they called him out a little bit on his promo skills.
Hulk Hogan called him a smart mark. I laughed.
It's like, ouch. And I just, I will say in one thing in defense of his promo, everybody's like, oh, well, he pandered to the crowd. What do you think a promo is?
Yeah. WWE doesn't want to talk to you. You're talking to the crowd, but hi, we're there. Talk to us.
Yeah, it's... If you notice, everybody, all the really good promo people, pander. they talk to the crowd, they address the crowd, they don't pretend that the crowd isn't there. Just pointing that out.
Yeah.
But overall, the promos were decent. Tanner was special.
Gabby was really, really special.
Gabby had no idea what the hell was going on. Gabby did not know what a promo was.
Probably still
even after they had explained it to her.
Probably still doesn't know.
Probably still doesn't know what a promo was. And I understand that on the challenge she didn't know, and it's like, that's fine that she didn't know. But when they went to the elimination round and she got called out on it, and she still didn't know how to cut a promo, it's like, yeah, okay, that's not okay. And then, well, we saw some tears from Lil Miss Sarah Lee.
She was having trouble with her. One, we'll start with the promo. Promo, she did all right. It wasn't great. Then Jericho got in her face, was trying to motivate her, and people complained, why is he yelling at a girl? But he was motivating her.
He's trying to get her to flip the switch.
Right. And then they were in the ring doing, this week's challenge was a shoulder block and lift up for the power slam. Body slam. That's the best way to put it, body slam. And, well, she was doing it wrong, and Billy just laid into her like nobody's business.
Yeah, Billy wasn't having any of that crap, and basically he told her, you either need to get out of your head or you need to get out of my ring. Because they kept telling her how to do it and telling her that she was doing it wrong and she wasn't correcting. And it finally got to the point where Billy just kind of lost his temper with her, which Billy does. He's not there to hold her hand. He's there to get her motivated. He's basically the drill sergeant.
Apparently before that, she had to pick up ZZ and that sort of got in her head.
ZZ's a big guy.
ZZ's a big dude.
So if she can pick up ZZ, I'm impressed.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, so, and then basically Sarah broke down after that because she's been taking a lot of crap from the judges and from Jericho and now from Billy and from everybody else. And their biggest complaint with her is that she's not coming out of her shell. She's not flipping that switch and they want to see her flip that switch. And I think the way that they're trying to get her to flip is not the right way to do it. Cause, basically she'll take any punishment they give her, which is incredibly impressive, and she'll just move forward.
Yeah.
Until eventually gets to her and she breaks down, which everybody does because we're human, but she's taken a lot of crap off a lot of people. And she finally broke down this week and it's basically like, I'm trying, I really am trying, I don't have the background that everybody else has.
Correct.
And so, come the elimination round, she of course got called out by Paige. Again, because
yeah.
Paige said, I will call you out every week until you prove me wrong.
And, okay, so they get to elimination round and tell all three of the bottom three, which was Gabby, Sarah Lee, and Tanner?
Tanner.
I had to think for a second. And Tanner told them all cut a promo. And Gabby starts to cut her promo, and Paige is like, that's not a promo.
That was fantastic.
Tanner.
And Brian was like,
go ahead.
Brian was like, that wasn't a promo. I'm kind of done now.
Yeah. Then Tanner cuts his promo Patrick?
No, it was Tanner.
Was it Tanner? Okay, I'm making sure. So Tanner starts cutting a promo. Cause I had tough talk cause they started cutting promos there too. That's why. So Tanner starts cutting one and he's going back and forth with Hogan and Hogan's like, cut a promo, come on, tell me what you would do. And like, he sort of did it, but really was, he was just giving a resume, not really a promo. And then in the moment, Sarah Lee. Oh man.
Oh yeah, that was fantastic. Because basically they had to cut the promo on the judge that called him out, so Gabby had to cut it on Brian, Tanner had to cut it on Hogan. Sarah Lee got to take a shot at Paige.
Yeah.
Sarah Lee starts, Paige starts going on her. Going after her, she marches her little self right up on into Paige's face and basically cuts one hell of a promo in Paige's face.
It was great.
It was absolutely fantastic.
It was awesome. Well done, Sarah Lee. She survived. Gabby got cut.
Tanner barely survived.
Barely
he survived gone. By the skin of his teeth.
Yeah. Now we gotta talk really quick about a tough talk moment. They brought up Chelsea, the new girl, who was involved in the SummerSlam angle last year, where Daniel Bryan had the supposed affair with the Chelsea, and it really didn't happen. Their interaction was great. You gotta watch Tough Talk for the interaction was great. And the best part, I don't think I ever told you about this part. So, and it had to do with like Patrick or whatever, cause they told the Patrick and whoever he was, Mata, they had to cut a promo on each other cause they were fighting at Battleground, right? So Daniel Bryan goes, yeah, give us this promo, tell us, you know, how you guys would be facing off each other at Battlefield.
Wait, what?
He called the pay-per-view Battlefield.
Oh, God.
And then Hogan's like, I'm vindicated because of the whole Silverdome thing.
Oh, God. Hogan, you're never going to live that down. Just accept it. It's going to follow you for the rest of your life.
And the whole theme, the whole theme is, watch the product, people. And, you know, because everyone, that's been the whole thing. But it's like, he said Battlefield, and he was like, wait, I said Battlefield. Oops.
Right. Battleground, y'all. Battleground. You have the network. For the love of God, watch the network. Watch Raw. Watch SmackDown. Make sure you pay attention when Paige is on.
Right. And we'll be talking about Battleground here in a bit.
We will. My favorite moment personally was when the fight broke out and ZZ's in the middle trying to break it up and ZZ gets pushed and one of the girls is like, don't you push ZZ!
Everyone loves ZZ.
Dude, he's over. He's over. Somebody sign him. Just sign him.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen because based on the pop he got Monday night, which was adorable, his reaction to it afterwards. Yeah, based on that pop, everybody backstage heard that, saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to get him noticed because if he's just on a reality show and he's getting that kind of a pop, every time he's been in the bottom two, he's been well ahead of everybody else in the voting. He's very well liked. He's over. That will get him noticed. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if he doesn't win, if he doesn't get signed.
Yeah.
Because they've got something.
He's 18. He has raw potential.
He's 19, actually.
19 now. Okay.
He had a birthday on July 4th.
Okay, he's 19 now. He's raw potential.
Oh, he has a lot of raw potential. I mean, and it's not going to take much to get him to where they need him because he's already got the personality and the charisma. And somebody finally, Hulk Hogan, pointed out what I pointed out weeks ago, mind you.
Mind some of Dusty Rhodes, the American.
Yeah.
And ZZ was like, I know, I didn't want to say it because he died. He wanted to, you know, talk about him being his favorite wrestler. He didn't want to use that. Like, when he was talking with his American character, he didn't want to talk about it because Dusty just died.
Right. And he's trying to be respectful, but yeah. There's a lot of Dusty that I see in ZZ, and they could wholeheartedly take advantage of that. Like, I want to see them give the hard time script to ZZ, and I want to hear him cut it. And I want to hear what he does with it.
That would be interesting.
That would be really interesting to see what he does with that, and see if he could do it justice, because I really think he does, because he's got that real genuine natural quality to him that you just connect to him. I mean, come on, the dude wrestles gators. He's the sweetest thing you'd ever see in your life. And his Twitter is amazing.
Spoiler alert, coming up later in Tweet of the Week.
Coming up later in the Tweet of the Week, yes. But overall, oh, and one other thing before we go to break, because I know we were running along on the news, and we have to get to everything else, including Sanjay Dutt. But I have to talk about what happened after Gabby got eliminated, before I forget.
Go ahead.
The where she's like, yeah, I'm totally fine with the fact that I got cut. I'm cool. Like, Renee Young, no idea what to do with that. None.
No.
She was like, so you're happy about this? And Gabby's like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm cool.
And they brought up, like, why were you holding, like, she talked about holding back. It's like, why are you holding back? It's like, and she had no real explanation for it. But she, yeah, no. I don't know. Oh, another thing from Tough Enough. I like that they had how they had the judges react to each segment as they went to break.
Yeah, that was good. I liked that a lot. If they would do more of that.
I think they're figuring it out as they go.
I think they're figuring out it as they go. I'm not sure I was okay with Jericho telling Sara Lee that she was safe.
I think that they pulled that from the Austin book.
I think they did too.
They're trying.
They're really trying to make USA happy because reportedly USA is not happy with the way that they're doing Tough Enough. And the fact that, you know, there isn't enough time for the judges to react and, they don't like how Jericho is hosting it and just a myriad of other things. So they're trying to adjust the show to make USA happy. And I will admit, I do like the fact that they let the judges react to each segment.
Yes.
I'm not sure I liked how Jericho hosted it this week.
Yeah. So anyway, we gotta get to break.
We do have to get to break. So when we come back, we are going to be talking all about NXT and SmackDown. And we'll let you know what happened as we go on the road to Battleground. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. The eyes of a tiger, no fear, cold like a
sniper, Iron Fist, that's how I run this. From the streets climbed up to the summit. I've been the hunter, I've been the hunted. Don't look now, you got another thing coming. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it?
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MVG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today. Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you. In the form of the Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with the Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on. Let me.
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer of the show.
Shut up.
Shut up.
For the trunk rob parts.
Why doesn't Rob Parks do it?
We waited forever to Rob come, for Rob to come back, and now you're not even gonna let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William Anson McConnell. And for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much. I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big. Wow. I insulted myself real bad. Wow. Alright, everybody was listening to that. Forget about it. Forget. Wow. God damn it, Jobber.
What I do?
Alright. I'm Rob Hunt, your godfather of the tree, for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was. Peace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. and I'm not going to sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your wrestling action figure needs. We're going to have to change our intro music for NXT soon because Charlotte's getting called up.
I know. I love her music, though.
Bailey. We can use Bailey.
We can use Bailey. I love her music, too.
It's decided. We're using Bailey after Charlotte goes up. But now... now we have to talk about Wednesday's amazing NXT.
We had Jason Jordan and Chad Gable taking on Cutler and Samson. Lots of mat wrestling from Gable. Pin attempts. Gable crawls out, makes a tag to Jordan. They did a lift powerbomb type back suplex combo for a win. It was decent.
It was decent. I mean, it was a solid opening contest, and given what the main event was, it was like, yeah, okay, this is a good start.
You had Samoa Joe taking on Axel Tischner?
Yes, a new signee, apparently, for WWE NXT, so...
You had early offense by Axel Joe, took control, atomic drop, boot, senton, Tischner move, tried running at Joe, got slammed, muscle buster, and a coquina clutch for the win. Simple.
Simple. To the point. We have a new tag team in NXT. Yay.
New tag team, and Joe's being built, so good stuff. Because they gotta introduce Joe to the audience, so. Good stuff.
Yes.
Get his moveset over.
Yes.
We have an interesting video package on Baron Corbin.
I never realized he played in the NFL.
Yeah, he was a football player.
I kinda liked it, honestly, cause it was like, he opened up, we got a little development about him, where he's like, he's got this chip on his shoulder, where he's like, I don't give a crap. I've already made more money than these guys.
Explained who he was.
Yeah, it explained him more. Give you more insight into him. So yeah, I liked it. That's pretty much exactly what they needed to do. And I think they're going to start doing that with more and more characters as a way to develop them, which they should. So.
Solid.
Solid.
We then heard from King Ken's favorite, Miss All Red Everything, Eva Marie.
I'm glad you guys are so excited to see me. I'm just as excited. I came here today to tell you I am so excited to watch the NXT Women's Championship match tonight between Charlotte and Sasha Banks. But more importantly, I am here to announce yours truly will be making her in-ring debut next week. So get those signs ready and get your little horns because All Red Everything is coming, baby.
Solid promo from Eva.
Solid. Needs a little love, but solid.
Solid promo. Solid work. Good stuff.
I'm actually looking forward to this. I think everybody's really curious to see what she can do after training with Brian Kendrick. And also going back down to NXT and probably working back down in NXT. So I'm really very curious to see what she can do.
She's in action next week on the show. Pictures look decent.
I'm not sure if I like the robe that she wears.
Well, we'll have to see why. There's probably meaning behind it.
There's probably meaning behind it, but I'm liking the new gear. I think it fits her way better than what she had before. And I'm very curious to see what she can do. You know, her promo skills aren't the best. but those can be worked on. What's important is her wrestling ability, and can she get it done in the ring?
Giving Eva a chance.
Give Divas a chance. Yeah. Includes all Divas.
Yeah. Blake and Murphy, the tag team champions, with the Evil Sparkle Fairy, Alexa Bliss.
Evil Sparkle Fairy.
Taking on Dawkins and Fulton. Dawkins in control early till he ran into the boots of Murphy. Dawkins tried making a tag to Blake, but Blake pulled his partner off the apron. Hit a brainbuster, frog splash combo for the win. Your winner is Blake and Murphy. That match was fine. It was solid. It was a tag team match.
We need to talk about what happened after the match.
Best moments was Alexa instructs our boys. She instructed them to attack Fulton. They did. Then they carried her over on their hands, and she did the amazing sparkle splash off their hands. It flew in the air. It was awesome.
It was pretty amazing. I was like, okay, that's cool.
Like, her finish looks weak coming off the top rope, because she doesn't hit it as impactful. But when she flew out of their hands, because she got some height, that's an impactful move.
Yeah, I would agree. It looked way better than it does coming off the top rope.
Yeah. So
way, way better.
Go Evil Sparkle Fairy.
Go Evil Sparkle Fairy, go. I'm digging heel Alexa. I really like her as a heel.
She's owning it. She is owning it. We then heard from Sami Zayn.
Well, that's just really nice of you. Thank you. As most of you know by now, I recently had shoulder surgery, and this is one of the first opportunities I've had to really leave the house, leave the physiotherapist room, and I guess, corny as it may sound, I just wanted to take this opportunity to tell you guys that I haven't forgotten about you. And by the sounds of it, it sounds like you haven't forgotten about me either. So I sincerely want to thank you for that. Thank you. A lot of people have been asking me for updates, you know, how I've been doing or when I'll be back or how I'm doing mentally or how I'm doing physically. And, hey, if it's an update you want, I'll give it to you, but it's not gonna be a big surprise here. Things have kinda sucked. Things have not been good. you know, it's been rough, and, I think part of what's made it so rough is the fact that 2014 was probably the best year of my career. And week in, week out, we did it here. And the year ended with me on the highest of highs as NXT champion. So it doesn't get much better than that. And unfortunately, it's been a pretty stark contrast because 2015 has probably been the absolute worst year of my career. And worse yet, it looks like it's going to stay that way because I probably won't be back by the end of the year. But hey, listen, this is not doom and gloom, Sammy. This isn't depressed, sad, Sammy. I'm not crying for myself here. I mean, I ain't finished. Not by a long shot. I mean, I got goals. I got goals just like everyone, you know? My goal is to be able to find a comfortable position to sleep in. My goal is to be able to lift my arm past 90 degrees. My goal is to come back better than ever and take back my NXT championship. And as far as goals and motivations goes, well, I mean, there's no better motivator than revenge, is there? Now, Kevin, you might think you got me in your rear view. You're on Raw every Monday, every week, and I'm sitting at home, laid up. But I meant every word I said when I said that your career, since day one, has been linked to me. And everything you've done for the last 12 years, it's been about you and me, and that's how it's gonna stay for the next 12 years! So guess what? Time, time heals all wounds. And this wound, time is gonna heal. And when it does, Kev, watch your ass because I am coming for you!
Intense Sammy, intense Sammy. Oh my god, that was a good promo.
That was a great, great promo by Sami Zayn. Sad to hear he will not be back before the end of the year. I'm sure they will continue to intersperse him throughout the product as time goes on and find a way to get him back on TV slowly. But great, great promo. Fantastic promo.
Fantastic. And then we had an awesome women's championship match, Charlotte and Sasha Banks for the belt.
This was so pretty. This was just so damn pretty.
We had the flare start early on from Charlotte, and Charlotte with a nice head scissors on Sasha. Charlotte, it seemed like a step ahead of Sasha Banks early. Charlotte tried to ram her shoulder into Sasha from the outside, but Sasha countered it and brought her into the corner, hit the double knee, came back from break. Sasha was in control, big clothesline, mocked her strut. She repeatedly kicked her in the head and Charlotte did the flop. Sasha locked in the straitjacket submission. Charlotte tried to escape. Again, when I said earlier, submission wrestling, it carried over into this matchup, what they're known for. Charlotte countered out with a nice powerbomb. They traded shots back and forth, neck breaker, spear, two count for Charlotte. Sasha escapes suplex, backslide, two count. Sasha does her thing, she trash talks, slapped her in the face, and Charlotte went crazy, including a big boot. Figure four, small package, two count. Sasha had her rolled up for a two count. Sasha with the figure four, countered by Charlotte, who locks it in. And at one point, Charlotte's weave came out. Sasha fought to the ropes, but they wouldn't break as she rolled to the outside, so Charlotte was on the outside, locked in the figure four. She had to break the hold at some point. Charlotte went for a knee, roll up, two count. Another roll up, two count. Bank statement. Charlotte fights out for a second, but gets locked back in, and she's forced to tap out. Your winner and still NXT Women's Champion, Sasha Banks. Great, 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 great rap match.
Fantastic match, and the fact that they got to main event was amazing.
Like, they had like 15 minutes, it was awesome.
They had time, they paced it out well, they weren't rushed, they really did a fantastic job with that, and then at the end, the show of respect between Sasha and Charlotte was just incredible. Both women hugged, they held their arms up in the ring together. It was really a great moment to see.
Yes, it was.
But yeah, so we move forward to next week on NXT. Definitely some stuff to look forward to, especially as they push towards TakeOver in August, which is going to be at the Barclays Center the night before SummerSlam.
Can't wait.
Can't wait for that. But I say we take a quick break.
Yes, it's going to be like a 90-second break, so get ready.
And when we come back, we're going to be talking SmackDown and Battleground, so you don't want to miss that. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Call me if you don't come at all. You leave your peace at home, that's your call. It never paid to be merciful. Come if you don't come at all.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And now we're going to play with the producer's new toy so he can show off his fancy technology screen and do Tweet of the Week.
To be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're given. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
You can now see our tweets on the screen. So this is going to be interesting as we work this. We're figuring this out as we go.
Yes. So, Hideo Itami, getting better at WWE Performance Center. Somebody watching me, and it's a picture of Hideo getting better with a Tyler Breeze sticker on the door.
Yeah.
To which Tyler Breeze replied, always watching. And Hideo shot back, better looking than at M. Gorgeous, with another picture of him in the sticker.
Yeah.
And of course, Tyler replies with, how dare you? I'm going to buy your action figure and break eye. Wait a second. I can't seem to find the Hideo action figure. And Hideo being Hideo, you gonna buy? Don't worry. Present for you. I know you are a huge fan of me. Hashtag don't worry, Tyler.
And then there's a picture of the action figure.
Yep. Bless Hideo. Bless him so much. Kalisto tweets to Hideo, feel better, Lucha Hideo. To which he replies, thank you, amiga. Lucha miss you. Hashtag Lucha, Lucha, Lucha. And then Kalisto replies, I will buy yours at M. Gorgeous. He's okay. Hideo's like, bye! Don't worry, Kalisto. Don't worry, Tyler.
Yeah. And finally?
And finally, because my page refreshed, ZZ. Because I love his Twitter so much. The greatest test of courage on earth is handling defeat time after time, but not losing your heart for what you love. Gator heart gator. He has fun with emoticons.
He does. All right. So here we go. We're going with my tweets, and this is going to be different because I have to read them as I scroll. There was a conversation going on, and then Steve Austin replied, I had more than four moves, maybe six tops. Ended up working out okay. Hashtag pro wrestling. The Rock replied, yep, I had four moves, not counting the sunset flip I beat Austin with in Paul Duckett, Kentucky. Austin replied, and what display of athleticism that was. By God, Austin had a family, damn it. Someone tweeted Eric Young, running down the street to catch the ice cream truck counts as exercise, right? Hashtag summer, hashtag dedication. His reply was, for sure, it does. Can't always chase the ice cream man.
Always.
Keep it five star. The Undertaker watches Raw for the first time in months, sees Kane being mocked by Paul Heyman, switches to So Think You Can Dance. Corey Graves, I sincerely hope that the Tough Enough crew was at Raw tonight to play the role of the Cadillac in Brock's next meltdown. Hashtag Raw. He's not a fan of the people, is one Corey Graves. He's not a big fan of Tough Enough.
None of them are really big fans of the Tough Enough crew, if you notice that.
Yeah.
None of the talent are really that happy about Tough Enough. No, they're making that very, very obvious.
Yeah, they kind of are. It's kind of precious. Moving along as we go. Keep it five star. The commentators are talking about the Divas division positively during another match. Wow, hashtag Raw. Anywhere. Antoine V. Staley. Chris Berman's derby hairdo is partly in the back. That should be gone. because it's going. Really, really going. Solomon Crowe, never poke a beast with a stick. It will destroy your car with its bare hands. Hashtag raw. Scott Hansen, come on, peeps. If they're swinging this fist, gotta go to the double box. Ball lands / ball pitched. If a man knows about a double box, Scott Hansen, because he does the red zone. And boy, they have a triple box and a quad box, and oh my god, when they get the mini boxes. Three-man booth, previously on Raw. Man took on machine. Man won. It's true. True story. Three-man booth, Seth Rollins just broke the 12th commandment. Thou shall not interrupt Paul Heyman when he's spitting hot fire. Hashtag Raw. Three-man booth. Uh-oh, Brock Lesnar said the B-word. Uh-oh, Paul Heyman said the other B-word. Brother. Hashtag Raw. Well, these are fitting now that you read them back later. With all the rumors. Big Man Booth. Too much infighting in the We Hate Cena Club. Hashtag Raw. Yeah, there was. This is the Big Man Booth. This is the part in a rom-com where Kevin Owens finds himself and comes back determined to win the girl match. Hashtag Raw. Big Man Booth. We tried to avoid the contract signing. They tried to mail the contract to Brock Lesnar, but FedEx doesn't deliver to Suplex City. Big Man Booth. Brock Lesnar just beat some up with a table. He did. He legit did. Keep it 5-star. Daniel Bryan singing the Bella Twins theme needs to be the new version of the Bella Twins theme. Hashtag Total Divas. Check out the rec extra. We'll talk about it this weekend.
It kind of does.
And finally, we're going with AARP, the Twitter. Yes, we are. At Tiger Woods, it's better to be over 50 than it is to be over par. Hashtag disrupt aging. Hashtag the open. Because he said in a press conference, he's not that old. He doesn't have his AARP car yet. Well, they took a shot right back. It was fantastic. But that was Tweet of the Week. I think it went well with the new technology screen. Gotta fix it a little bit, but it worked pretty well.
I think it worked pretty well.
Yeah.
So, fans, did it work well?
You know.
Let us know. Tweet us.
At Wild Talk Radio. So there you
or
go.
Or at Rack Radio Show. Let us know.
Let us know.
So, and if you're just joining us, that was Tweet of the Week. We will be having Sanjay Dutt in the next segment, so be patient with us. Let us get through Battleground, and then we will get the man for you, the player from the Himalayas. But now, obviously, we have to talk about Battleground, and we're going to kind of sprinkle a little bit of SmackDown in there because...
Stuff happened,
but not a lot of stuff happened. And we'll probably be talking a little bit of Raw, too, since we didn't get to talk about Raw this week. So we'll save the World Heavyweight title match for the end. We'll save Roman and Bray for the end. So starting out, we are talking about the WWE Tag Team Championship match, the primetime players taking on the New Day.
Huh. Interesting match. Interesting match we have in front of us. I'm trying to decide who I want to win. And it's like, I don't think the primetime players have done anything with the belts, honestly. Because if you think about it, they won it because Titus O'Neil is a good dad. And it's like, okay, so what's the selling point beyond that? I haven't found out what the selling point is.
Well, part of the problem is they, beyond the Ascension, the Lucha Dragons, and the New Day, they really don't have any other tag teams that can go up against O'Neil and Young right now. Because Eric Rowan is hurt.
And
Tyson Kidd is hurt.
Yeah.
So it's, you really only have three other tag teams that can face them. Which, that should be plenty. But Lucha Dragons are face. The Ascension aren't in any kind of position to challenge for the titles. So that leaves the New Day. And if you have New Day win, then O'Neil and Young can chase, the Lucha Dragons can chase, and then gradually you can build the Ascension up to make a run at a face tag team once a face tag team wins.
Right. Before we continue on, I should mention you can join us in our Pick'em Challenge. Go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Tomorrow we'll have the Pick'em list up there, and you can win if you can overcome the people who are already tied. You can win a WWE Fan on Board thing you stick on the back of your windshield and your car. That's what we're giving away for Battleground.
We have door prizes.
Well, we have, this is for Battleground. We have a better prize for SummerSlam.
Yes, we do. And we will let you know what that is.
Sunday. We'll start promoting that Sunday. But, and you can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio or media at wildtalkradio.com for the email. Okay.
Yes.
Get that out of the way. Back to the match. I'm going New Day wins.
Yeah, I say New Day wins just because there are more options if New Day wins. You know, again, you can have Young and O'Neil chase. You can have the Lucha Dragons chase. You can find and you can throw together some other tag teams if need be. Or you can, like I said, you can build the Ascension to eventually go after either Young and O'Neil or the Lucha Dragons when you take the titles off the New Day.
Magic 8-Ball, our dastardly opponent, says no to the New Day winning.
Well, so, fine.
Be that way, Magic 8-Ball. We'll just have to take it down.
Which we never do.
No, but we like to trash talk like we can.
Yeah, we like to think that we can, because, you know, eventually we will.
You're going down, 8-Ball. Going down.
This pay-per-view, you're going down. So up next, we have Randy Orton taking on Sheamus and his brand spanking new nose ring.
All right, this is what we saw on SmackDown. Go ahead.
Sheamus has a nose ring. Why does Sheamus have a nose ring? Not that I have anything wrong with it, but it's not in the nostril. Oh no. No, no. It's like right in the middle, so he has like a bull nose ring that like hangs down from both his nostrils. And it just looks awful, especially with the dangly bits. Like, I can handle the nose ring on its own. I don't have a problem with it because the nose ring, the mohawk work. But the mohawk, the nose ring, the dangly bits, no. Something has to go. Somebody talk to that boy and tell him that he needs to cut the dangly bits off. And then he's good. The dangly bits on his face. Let me clarify that. The ones on his face.
I'm not even going to say what came to my mind.
I know what came to your mind because we have one damn brain.
Could you let me there? I just... No.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure everybody thought it. That's why I had to clarify it. The dangly bits on his face need to go.
Okay. Now, back to the match itself. Whenever these two men get in the ring, the matches are boring.
They always go to this. I swear to God, they keep going to this to eventually get this over. By God, they are going to get this match. They are going to make us pay attention to it, and they are going to make us like it. They don't care how many times it takes, but they always seem... It's like whenever they don't have anything for Randy Orton and Sheamus, they stick them together.
And it's usually on Raw. It's usually 15 minutes, and usually nothing happens.
And usually the fans crap all over it, because we're kind of jerks like that.
I hope this is better than I think it is. The match will be fine, but I don't think it'll be memorable. I don't think coming out of this will know anything different.
That being said, I don't know who wins. It's like Sheamus is Mr. Money in the Bank.
But he's not on any sort of roll since winning.
He's not on any kind of roll since winning. Orton just came back. They really haven't done a lot to build this feud. I don't know who wins.
Sheamus wins. Because Mr. Money in the Bank gotta give a win. Sheamus wins. Out of nowhere. With a bro kick.
Yeah, but it's Randy Orton.
And your point is what?
It's Randy.
So you're going with Randy Orton?
I'm going with Randy just because if you have Sheamus lose later in the night, that potentially gives him the opportunity to get a big win in the main event.
Right.
Which we'll talk about here in a little bit. But yeah, Randy just came back. You need to reestablish Randy. Sheamus has been around. Plus, you can potentially continue the feud.
Please, no. Please, for the
love of God. To SummerSlam.
Please, for the love of God, no.
Yeah, I know, but Randy gets his win, and then Sheamus can potentially go on to the main event, because you don't want to have Sheamus win against Randy and then go on to the main event.
Hey, we can go on with the theory that I had earlier that you totally dismissed.
What theory?
That Sheamus cashes in Money in the Bank on The Undertaker at SummerSlam.
No, we are not recognizing that theory.
Yeah, I know. But I just wanted to throw out there. So if it happens, you heard it here first. Seth Rollins loses the WWE title to The Undertaker, and then Sheamus cashes in at SummerSlam after The Undertaker wins. So then you have Undertaker and Sheamus at WrestleMania.
Oh, no. There are about 20 other people I can think of to face The Undertaker before Sheamus.
I know, I'm just throwing it out there.
And the match, technically, we should have started with...
Hold on, before we go. Who'd you pick?
Oh, Orton.
I'm going Sheamus. 8-Ball's going Randy Orton.
The 8-Ball likes me better.
You are the favorite.
Hashtag favorite. So, moving on, the match we technically should have started with because it's the kickoff, but I really don't want to see it. R-Truth versus King Barrett.
Why?
For the title of King.
Why?
Why are we doing this?
Why?
Why are they fighting over a crown?
Why?
I mean, goddammit, if you're going to make them fight over a crown, then there better be a talent portion, a bikini portion, and a question and answer.
That
is the only,
you know what?
Only way I will accept somebody feuding over a crown.
You know what? That would actually be entertaining. Because Wade Barrett would be embarrassed to be in the bikini contest. R-Truth would act his ass off in the bikini, and R-Truth would give a ridiculous answer to the question, and I want to know what the talent is, and they can't. R-Truth can't rap. I want to see him, like, juggle or something.
Right?
That would be more entertaining than this cluster of a match.
Oh, evening gown. We can't forget evening gown.
Oh, God. Evening gown. Oh, good Lord.
Better get waxed, boys. Better get waxed.
Gotta show off that leg. I thought 2 weeks ago when Wade Barrett won, it was over. Then they came back and did the match again on Raw. I don't understand why they did the match on Raw since he won. Wade Barrett, for the first time in the history, did a credible promo on SmackDown about the legitimacy of the King of the Ring. He should have been cutting this promo 6-7 weeks ago. Just saying. That being said, King Barrett destroys R-Truth.
Yeah, R-Truth is going down on this one. This feud needs to die. It needs to end. You need to move Barrett on from this.
Just something.
Just something to anything beyond this. I'm really kind of getting tired of them making R-Truth into a joke. I really like to see them do something with him beyond being King What's Up or the Little Jimmy stuff. Not to say that it's not entertaining, because it is, but it's like, that always seems to be the default with R-Truth, is that, oh, well, we're just going to kind of turn him into a joke. And I'm getting a little tired of it, because it's frankly, it's humiliating, and it's kind of stupid, and I'm over it. So it's like, can we just kind of let this die and move on and find something else for Barrett and for R-Truth to do?
It would be nice. That being said, 8-Ball agrees with us. King Barrett will win.
King Barrett will win.
All hail King Barrett.
And, well, will we hail a new United States champion as we have John Cena taking on Kevin Owens for the title?
I think this momentum of this feud has slowed down a little bit.
It has.
I think because we rushed into the second match, the 5 weeks getting to the third has felt like a long time. This is what happens when you spread, when everything's spread out when you're too quick and then too long. It just didn't even out. Kevin Owens quickly recently lost to Finn Balor in an amazing match at NXT, at Beast from the East. He needs a win back. Every instinct I have is to go Kevin Owens as your new United States champion. Every instinct I have.
Except one.
And what's that?
It's Cena.
Yeah.
And they're going into SummerSlam after Battleground. But I think that title comes off Cena, because I think with the ratings situation, they're going to point Cena at the main title.
Are we going with John Cena and Seth Rollins as your WWE title match at SummerSlam?
You very well could, because if you screw Brock out of the title and you have Seth retain, that eliminates Brock. You can move Brock on to somebody else, whoever screws him over.
Taker.
And that takes care of that. People will watch Taker Brock 2, or actually technically Taker Brock. Whatever it is, 4 or 5, 27, whatever. And you put Cena in the title picture for the main title, and people will watch for that, especially if the main title goes on Cena. That in their mind brings the ratings back up. Because that's generally what they do when the ratings are down. The title always goes back on Cena.
Yeah, and if you notice, they put him in the main event 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
My pick is Owens. Owens takes the U.S. title and Cena moves on to the main title.
Going Kevin Owens. Because they've done a good job. They've done a really good job. Kevin Owens needs to heat back up. I think he's slowed down a little bit since losing to Finn Balor. And well, they haven't featured him as much as they did before. He needs to go back on the rise, and a win over John Cena will do it, and getting the title will do it. Go Kevin Owens. The Magic 8-Ball says Kevin Owens will not beat John Cena.
Well, I guess we'll have to see.
By the way, still to come, Sanjay Dutt.
Yes, Sanjay Dutt. We're going to get there. We're promised. We're trying to get through this as fast as we can. So, unadvertised matches that could potentially happen. Rusev versus Cesaro.
Oh, we're doing this.
Yeah. Just going to go ahead and call it.
Let's go with Cesaro.
Yeah, I say Cesaro gets the win. Especially if Lana shows back up and screws Rusev.
If this were to happen, Magic 8-Ball says, not going to happen. Cesaro will not beat Rusev.
And also, because Ryback is out, they could just do Big Show and Miz.
Miz.
Big Show.
Will the Big Show beat the Miz? Very doubtful. So it's a match taking ball.
Fair enough. So, now we move on to the matches that we personally care about. Bray Wyatt versus Roman Reigns.
I'll let you go.
This is a hard one to pick.
Okay. Couple things. I thought the feud has slowed down in the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I need everyone, after this show is off the air, go to youtube.com/WWFanNation. find the interview Bray Wyatt did with Michael Cole and watch it. It will make you believe in Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, the interview he did with Michael Cole was nothing short of fantastic. It really, really kind of emphasized the character. I like how in that interview they're like, you know, this is both weird and disturbing, and they had to, like, warn you before they showed it.
Yes, yes, it did. I love how this feud started out. I loved it. The stuff with the rocking chair and his child was great. It was very, very Bray Wyatt. They've slowed down recently because they started out hot, and you always have to slow down. But the promo exchange between both Mel and SmackDown tonight was really, really good. Every instinct in my bone says Roman Reigns goes over Bray Wyatt, but my heart is going another way. My heart says Bray Wyatt needs to beat Roman Reigns just because, here's the thing, everything you hear about the rumors, right? With Undertaker and Sting and all alike, right? Roman Reigns isn't factored into any of that. Bray Wyatt's name's been tossed around a bit. Bray Wyatt needs the win if he's going to fight. Say Bray Wyatt's getting the Undertaker, Bray Wyatt needs to beat Roman Reigns. Unless Roman Reigns beats the Undertaker at SummerSlam, when the Shield take on the Brothers of Destruction. Throwing it out there, if that happens, you know, right here.
I feel like Bray needs the win just because they've done such a good job of Bray being in Roman's head, and they've sort of backed off of those mind games a little bit, which is disappointing, because it's nice how Bray's been screwing with Roman. Now Roman has gotten Bray back both on Raw and SmackDown. The promo exchange, to me, I liked Bray's portion. Roman did the best that he could, but again, Roman is not the best on the mic. He's gotten a lot better, but there's very clear differences between the two in terms of that exchange. I think Bray won it. But to me, I feel like Bray needs to win this match. Bray should win this match, because then it becomes a matter of pride. And one of the things that you can do is you can have Bray continue to poke at Roman until Roman eventually snaps. And he either snaps on Bray, or he snaps on Dean Ambrose. He snaps on somebody. And Roman just kind of goes out of control.
Yeah.
And you could do that, because it's like, you could almost build tension between Dean and Roman, with Dean continually being the bait for Bray, because it was kind of like Dean Ambrose had a match with him on Raw, but it never happened because Roman ambushed Bray. So Roman kind of used Dean as bait, and you can kind of continue to poke at that friendship and poke at that relationship, and Bray used that against Roman and possibly against Dean until you eventually turn Dean on Roman or Roman on Dean, and you do that feud.
Right.
And I know nobody wants to see that because they want them to remain BFFs, but eventually there's going to be tension in that situation where it's Dean is constantly kind of Roman's patsy for Bray Wyatt, and it's like Dean's only going to take that for so long before he snaps.
Right.
So, and also, again, if you're going to point Bray at either Sting or Taker, which, again, Taker is a very, very logical choice for Bray, because you could do that return from WrestleMania. I have to say Bray. He needs a win. He doesn't wrestle enough to lose at this stage. Like, that's the thing, is he has not wrestled a lot since WrestleMania. He has very infrequent wins. They're still kind of building him back up after the loss to Taker.
Yeah.
Roman, on the other hand, has had wins under his belt since he lost at Mania. They've rebuilt Roman really well. Bray needs a win here.
With the Bray Wyatt wins, Magic 8-Ball says outlook not so good for Bray Wyatt beating Roman Reigns.
Well, we'll have to see.
And our main event.
Our main event. Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship.
Brock Lesnar. Okay, this one's very hard to pick because I don't know. I really don't know. It is very simple to go Brock Lesnar wins the WWE Championship, but Brock Lesnar doesn't need the WWE Championship. We saw that already. And if you give the belt to Brock Lesnar, he's going to be a transitional champion if you're doing Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns for the WWE Championship. Please don't do that. Please don't make Brock Lesnar a transitional champion, because that's what would happen if Brock wins, because he's not going to keep it away from the fall. They won it on TV. The reason why Daniel Bryan wasn't pushed so heavily, because they didn't want to repeat the same storyline 2 years in a row. So Brock Lesnar leaving with the title is not good for business right now.
Mm-mm.
Seth Rollins as WWE champion, though, isn't doing the numbers they hoped. They're kind of falling off, so you know a change is in the air, whether it's at SummerSlam or Battleground, Rollins is losing his belt soon. I don't know how Rollins beats Brock Lesnar. I don't know if it's help from the Shield. I don't know if it's help from the Undertaker. I don't know if it's help from Triple H. Maybe Triple H screws Seth Rollins. I don't know. That this is what makes this match intriguing. You know Brock Lesnar can kick anyone's ass, and he's gonna kick Seth Rollins' ass all over the building at Battleground. Will he get disqualified? Possibly. And maybe that's how you get out of it. But that would be a flat ending, and no one wants to see a flat ending. I really don't know.
It doesn't make sense to put the title on Brock right now. It just really, really doesn't. Because like you said, he will be a transitional champion. At most, he'll hold the title a month where he goes to Battleground he goes to SummerSlam and he loses it at SummerSlam. And then he's gone again. And it's like, yay.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, so it's like, somehow, some way, Seth Rollins is gonna come out of this with the title. Whether it's a DQ, whether it's a screw job, whatever. Something's gonna happen where Seth Rollins is going to walk out of there as champion. At least that's my take on it, because you have Seth go to SummerSlam, and he loses at SummerSlam. Because he goes in there cocky, he thinks he can, he's invincible because he beat the Beast. He beat the One in 21-1.
You just set up the storyline. He beats the Beast. He beat the One who beat... He beat the One who is the One in 21-1, and then the next night on Raw, or after the show...
Yeah, no.
But that sets up the story.
It sets up the story, and it very well could be that they're going to point Seth at Taker, but the title does not need to be involved if that's the case.
I understand.
Which means the title comes off Seth before he gets to Taker.
Yeah.
Or you have Seth as champion, but the title is not on the line.
Something.
Because Taker's not going to be there past SummerSlam, so it doesn't make sense to put Taker in a title match. And if Seth beats both Brock and Taker...
then Seth Rollins is a made man.
Seth Rollins is made, which they very well could. That's them making Seth Rollins wholeheartedly, where he pins Brock Lesnar and Undertaker within a month span.
Could happen.
It's entirely possible, but I doubt it. But my gut tells me Seth holds on to the title at Battleground. He goes to SummerSlam. He probably faces Cena at SummerSlam, and he loses to Cena at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
That's what my gut is telling me. That's generally their default. Like I said before, whenever ratings are down or whenever they're getting ready to go into football season, generally Cena's in the title picture and he's either holding the title or he's going for it. And generally he wins.
I'm going Seth Rollins. You're going Seth Rollins?
Seth Rollins, yeah.
It's societally so, says the Magic 8-Ball. That said, here's the thing. What's going to happen at Battleground? Will leave us talking, guarantee it.
Oh yeah, and if it doesn't, the Raw after probably will.
Pretty much.
So that is WWE Battleground in a nutshell. Again, you have until Sunday, right up until the pre-show, submit your picks. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show. You can send them to us at media@wildtalkradio.com, or you can Facebook them.
Facebook.com/groups/WildTalkRadioNetwork, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, or Facebook.com/RackRadioShow.
Yes. So don't forget, right up to the pre-show, you could submit picks. So we're going to take our final break of the evening, and when we come back, we are going to have the player from the Himalayas, the one and only Sanjay Dutt, so you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
There's only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MVG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE. And I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's Boots to Ashes time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Jones! Jason the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is a gap. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins down his assaulting Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
Greetings and salutations, listeners. This is Christopher Daniels, and among many things, I am a pillar of society, an inspiration to children everywhere, and the man with the rear that makes the girls cheer. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio. And now, you are too.
Here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. Joining us right now is the man who will be taking part in the first ever GFW Next Gen Championship Tournament on July 24th in Las Vegas. Please welcome to the show the original playa from the Himalayas, Sanjay Dutt. How are you doing today?
Hi, how are you?
I'm just fine. I'm super excited to be talking to you. Now,
well, thank you.
You know, how are you feeling? You know, in a couple weeks, you're going to be competing in a first ever tournament for the brand new company, GFW. That's got to be exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited to just be a part of something new on the ground floor, you know, on the first stages of this new brand new company. And it's very similar to, 2003 when I started with TNA, and it was about a year old, barely a year old, and the same thing. Jeff Jarrett just started a new company, and I kind of climbed on board, and here we are, 2015, and we're doing it all over again.
Now, you competed in a few of the GFW shows in terms of the Grand Slam Tour, and what has it
Correct.
Been like for you to compete at those shows, and kind of how do they compare to the traditional arena shows for you?
You know what, outside and outdoors is a completely different monster. You know, you've got a lot of the elements to deal with, and just not sure of weather and the constraints. And it's just hard being outside and noise travels all over the place, but it's a really cool atmosphere. It's a really fun time. We're trying to be the most fan interactive group that you possibly could go to a show for. You know, we've got VIP meet and greets at 5:30 right before bell time for an hour. Talent is very easily accessible. You know, nobody's hiding out and everybody's kind of mingling with the fans, and it's a cool opportunity to get up and close fans that, sometimes I may not get the opportunity to at other shows.
Right. And kind of going back to what you mentioned about being on the ground floor of GFW, have you taken anything from when you were in the early days of TNA and brought that to the beginning stages of GFW, or is this kind of, you're taking this as it goes?
I think the presentation of the product is a little different. I guess very different. So I think with that, you know, you can't really predict on how things are going to go. But I do know that we've got an awesome roster. And I think at the end of the day, the one thing that separates a promotion, wrestling promotion from anybody else is talent. So, you know, we've got a loaded lineup coming up next Friday on the first TV taping. The Grand Slam events we've got loaded lineups on that. It's not just, you know, worldwide international stars, but we're looking for the regional stars and the diamonds in the rough, those hidden gems that fans might not know about that need that stage to kind of shine.
Right, and you know, speaking or staying on topic of that TV taping that's come up, what would it be like for you to become the first ever GFW Next Gen champion?
Oh, it'd be amazing. It'd be awesome. It's just like I said, being part of something brand new and. You know, being crowned the first ever anything is kind of cool, but especially in this environment where it's a style of wrestling that I kind of excel at and that I've kind of honed over the years and perfected. So, you know, that kind of adds to it.
Right. And is it, because you're a huge star in TNA in terms of the X division, is it similar
Correct.
To the X division, or is it completely different? Because it's hard to gauge because we don't really know anything about GFW right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that all that stuff is going to come to light, not just next Friday, but as the days and weeks go by. But I think it's a next gen division is going to be, you know, very similar to the X Division, but we're trying to focus on the next generation of high flyers, the next generation of hybrid wrestlers out there that are out there, you know, basically taking every different style there is of pro wrestling and meshing it together. And there's a lot of guys out there that have, you know, traveled the world, you know, much like myself. You know, I perfected, you know, your lucha style, your Japanese style, your American style. Let's bring all those styles together, and you got this one big hybrid style of wrestling. And we truly think that's the next generation of pro wrestling. You know, gone are the days of the slow and I don't want to say boring, but you know, action based pro wrestling is the future. And you know, we truly feel that action based pro wrestling is the next generation.
Absolutely. And you mentioned Jeff and Karen Jarrett and how this has been a big deal for them. What was it like for you to see them show up on Impact Wrestling TV a few weeks ago, just out of the blue and kind of promoting GFW?
I think it was crazy. I think it was probably the same reaction everybody else had, and what is going on here? you know, and I'm sure that was going on through Jeff's mind as he was walking into that ring, and probably as he was in the ring, you know, speaking his mind, thinking, what am I doing? It's a crazy business. The wrestling business is a crazy business. So you cannot predict anything. You can't rule anything out. I guess time will tell what this brings to not only TNA, but to GFW as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know it was a crazy moment for me because I heard it and it was like, wait, what? Jeff Jarrett's going to be on Impact Wrestling TV? What?
right. Absolutely.
It's like never say never, I guess.
Yep. That's the thing. This business is it's pretty nutty, and you know, a lot of people say expect the unexpected, but I guess that's something you got to live by in pro wrestling.
Right, absolutely. So kind of looking back at your career in TNA and as you look forward to GFW, do you have a favorite moment that's kind of stood out for you?
Oh gosh, you know, I'm so bad at answering the favorite questions. You know what?
First,
I don't know if I have a favorite. What's that?
First one that comes to mind then.
Well, I think as a whole, just my whole story, I guess my whole career has just been a one big moment to me. You know, I was a little kid that just, you know, watched wrestling, and never in a million years, even when I started, you know, going to wrestling school and training to be a wrestler in my first maybe year or two in the business, I never aspired to make a living off of it. I never aspired to become a star. I never aspired to any of that. I just loved pro wrestling, and I wanted to wrestle, and that was all I ever wanted. And, you know, it just kind of snowballed into this career, this big life that I just kind of got sucked into. And it's just been a crazy cool ride. And, you know, 15 countries later and 15 years of wrestling, and this whole ride has just been, it's just been amazing. So, I mean, I don't know if there's one specific moment, but just the whole thing of this, my story of, you know, being a young kid and literally from as far back as I can remember, I was watching wrestling on television. And then the next thing I know it, I'm on television and I'm working with the guys that I watched on television growing up. And also some of the relationships I've made in wrestling, you know, my best friend, Jay Lethal. You know, thanks to wrestling, you know, he's in my life. We wouldn't have been best friends if it wasn't for pro wrestling. So it's definitely a wild ride.
I would agree. And, you know, he is your best buddy. And how are you feeling that he's now the ROH champion?
Amazing. It's amazing. I leading up to that match, we talk every day. And, you know, leading up to that match, I just kept telling him, I said, you know, things are going to change, man. It's just another couple days, things are going to change, and I can't be more proud of him. I can't be more happy and proud that the world sees, you know, basically what I've known for, gosh, since the day I met him, of, you know, he is this talented. He literally, you know, he says it in the ring, he is the best in the world.
I would 100% agree with him. Do you think he's going to be able to hold off the challengers for a little while?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think when he crossed like that 6 months with the TV title, I said, Bubba, you ain't going to lose that man. So, you know, he's got one big one coming up and I don't see him losing any of those belts anytime soon.
No, I don't think so either. So here's crossing the fingers. He's got him for a long, long, long while.
Absolutely.
So we've been hearing a lot on how GFW is looking to unite many different promotions from around the world and creating some intriguing matchups for the fans. As a world traveler yourself, who would you like to see come to GFW and compete, and who would you like to actually compete against?
Let's see. That's a tough one. There's so much good talent out there. Wow. Real tough question. I think right now, just the connection that Jeff had and GFW had with New Japan Pro Wrestling and producing the Tokyo Dome pay-per-view in January. I think North American fans were exposed to so much talent that they just didn't know existed. And, you know, I've been a aficionado of the Japanese wrestling scene, and I spent, you know, year and a half of my life out there wrestling and was up close and personal with it. And some of those guys I would love to see over here, Okada, Nakamura, Ishii, Goto, Shibata. And you know, we've gotten a taste of the Bullet Club here. We've gotten a taste of the Young Bucks in the Grand Slam Tour. So I think those guys coming in here create so many fresh, new matchups. We got, the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, Kushida. He's going to be in Las Vegas next Friday. And, you know, getting that type of flavor in GFW is priceless. And, you know, there's a lot of guys out in Mexico as well. And, you know, they're getting exposed down there in California and in AAA and in Mexico. So a lot of high flyers out there that I would love to get in there with. Especially, let's see, Phoenix is one of my favorites.
And is it exciting for you to see New Japan kind of beginning to get a foothold here in the U.S.? Because they're becoming more and more popular with the more and more that U.S. fans are seeing.
Absolutely. You know, I think it's awesome that, you know, different styles of pro wrestling are exposed to wrestling fans that may not have seen or even heard of these people before. I think that's, you know, it does nothing but good for pro wrestling as a whole, you know, and who knows, it could be new wrestling fans that were born from that Tokyo Dome pay-per-view back in January, you know, the Tokyo Dome show, that, you know, may not have known about that and just may not be interested in American pro wrestling style, because it's a completely different style, and that Japanese style is a much better fit for, say, a fan that watches a UFC or an MMA.
Right. And kind of going back to the television taping, you're set to compete against Jigsaw for the first round of the tournament. What are your thoughts on him?
Jigsaw, he's a great guy. I've known Jigsaw for, I'd say, almost 10 years now. You know, and 10 years ago, I was a completely different performer. He was a completely different performer. And even 10 years ago, I think he had just started wrestling almost. You know, he was very new to pro wrestling as a whole. And, you know, I met him back then as a young kid. And, you know, fast forward, back in 2012 when I made my return to Impact after being gone for a few years, he was my first matchup back on live on Impact. And we tore it up, and, you know, we came up in that Northeast independent scene, you know, closely and working all those independent shows, because the Northeast is just a hotbed for independent wrestling. And, you know, we've crossed each other's paths many times, you know, in and outside of the ring. So I think it's really cool to fast forward and just kind of all things come around. And you know, he and I are going to be going at it for the next gen title next week on in Las Vegas.
That isn't the only title that's going up for grabs. The global title is also going to be on the line. If you have to make a prediction, who would you say walks out as the first ever GFW global champion?
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. I really like Nick Aldis, you know, formerly known as Magnus. He's I've always kind of enjoyed everything about his work and, you know, the way he carries himself as a professional wrestler inside and outside of the ring. I think he's a real special performer, and he's got a real shot of, you know, starting fresh and, you know, showing the world what he can do. And, you know, maybe he didn't get that opportunity previously, and this is it, you know. And a guy like Brian Myers, who again, you know, maybe he wasn't given that ball that he deserved over the years, and this may be the time for him to grab that ball and kind of show the world what he can do.
I would agree, and, you know, I'm excited. I can't wait to see it. Hopefully we get to see it very, very soon.
Absolutely.
Crossing my fingers on that one because I'm excited for it, like I said. So, Sanjay, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Everybody, catch all the stars of Global Force Wrestling in Las Vegas on July 24th as they begin taping the GFW television series Amped. Log on to globalforcewrestling.com for more details. Sanjay, once again, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me. And let's do it again soon. Thank you.
Absolutely. Once again, a huge thanks to Sanjay Dutt for joining us. Remember, everybody, keep your eyes peeled for GFW because they may be appearing on your TV sooner than later. At least I hope they will. I'm crossing my fingers. So, Rock, I think we're done.
I think it's closing time.
It is closing time. So, well, you are the master of the plugs, so plug away.
Check out the Rock Extra Season 4 Episode 2, which will be available this weekend. Because we're taping it tomorrow, I think.
Yeah, I had to go out of town for vacation. Sorry. It's delayed.
It's delayed. But check that out. Check out Episode 1. It's now available on Rock Radio Show, wildtalkradio.com. Saturday Night Midnight Edition is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. CB Radio WTR, Facebook.com, so cigarette butts and bandanas. Hashtag Blame Rob as well. CBRadioLive.com. Sunday, 11 p.m. Eastern, it's Russell Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Mace, and Omega. I'll be there, too. We'll talk Battleground. Because, you know, it's after the pay-per-view. So, that's what we do. 11 p.m. Eastern, WTR Sunday. On the Twitter, Facebook.com/RussellTalkRadio. Monday night, the Raw poster returns at 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. That's Lindsay. Won't be in Nebraska.
Nope. Nope, I'm back where I need to be, back in Georgia.
Only if you were in Georgia last week.
We're not going to talk about that. We're just not.
I know, I keep bringing it up all night, and we're not just... Anyway. We'll be back next Thursday. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of Rock right here live at 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, Rock Radio Show. Check out rockradioshow.com. Check me out, Wild Talk Radio, on Twitter, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Join the Facebook group, Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. Get this show on Stitcher and iTunes, Rock Radio Show, and Wild Talk Radio Network on Stitcher, iTunes, and TuneIn Radio, Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at Lins Ward, LANSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Lins Ward. Same as the Twitters. Don't forget to check out the Rack Extra, rackradioshow.com. And of course, please don't forget to visit our very fine sponsors, pwmania.com, tnaasylum.com, the haven for TNA fans.
Again, .net.
Or I'm sorry, tnaasylum.net. Why did they have to change the address?
I don't know. They screwed up your plug.
They screwed up my autopilot, man. I got to reset my autopilot. And Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!
www.TNAAndTheIndieScene.com.